Hello, and welcome to the Locked On Flyers podcast for Friday, July 31st, your daily dose of Flyers news, analysis, and high-quality content that is excited to get this round-robin thing going.
It's so soon! It's coming!
Sunday. To get caught up on our lead-up to the round-robin, subscribe to Locked On Flyers. It's available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts, so you'll get all of our episodes each and every day here on the Locked On Sports Network. We're your hosts. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Danielle.
And today, there's a little bit of Flyers news to catch up on, and we'll preview Sunday's matchup against the Boston Bruins that kicks off our round robin. And then we'll give you a little bit of bonus material from our Eastern Conference round robin roundtable that we presented earlier this week. And we asked each of the other hosts what they thought about the Flyers. So it was interesting to hear outsiders' perspectives on that. And then, of course, it's Friday, so we have our gritty thing of the week. We want to hear from you, so send us your questions via Twitter at Locked On Flyers, stuff for our mailbag, comments, your thoughts about how the team looks going into this playoff weirdness. You can also email any of that to us at lockedonflyers@gmail.com. So Thursday was an off day for the team, so there wasn't much information out there. I think the only news that I saw was via Ryan Giroux's Instagram, which was that Gavin scored his first goal. So it was very cute. They're having a little mini stick fun there while Dad's away. So the one thing that came out from the Flyers on Thursday, which I thought was pretty interesting, was their plans for the fan experience during the playoffs. And it looks pretty cool. They're having what they're calling a second screen experience. And so Flyers fans can feel like more of the home atmosphere while they're watching these games up in Toronto. And it looks pretty fun. They have pregame announcements from Lou Nolan, Lauren Hart will sing the anthem, and then they'll kind of have a side-by-side thing while the game is being played to show what might have been up on the scoreboard in terms of, who's on ice, yeah, stats, all that fun stuff that you would see up on the arena screen, plus some more stuff besides that. But what did you think about that?
You know, I was pleasantly surprised. I think the Flyers, throughout this whole pause, I think that they have done so many cool things and really tried to enhance the fan experience from home. So I wasn't surprised they did something like this, but I'm excited to see how it all works out, because I liked, just from the one scrimmage, I liked the quality that we got. I was surprised I didn't mind there not being any fans in the building. It'll be interesting to see how that, all of it works together, because I think I would really like that. I like seeing the scoreboard stuff when I'm at the games. That's, one of the downsides of not being able to see it at home. So it'll be interesting to mix those two things together. I'm excited.
Yeah, me too. And I think you're right. The way that the games have been presented so far have been pretty good. And I liked, at least for the Flyers' first game, I liked the level of crowd noise. I think they upped it a little bit too much in a couple of later games, but it was a nice, solid background crowd noise that didn't feel overpowering, for the Flyers game, and that the play-by-play was pretty good. Mm-hmm. Brian Boucher stuck in the glass box was fun. But to have that on the screen and also have some familiarity from stuff that you would normally see at Flyers games, on-screen polls, or they'll have little games from Andrea Helfrich, who's normally your in-arena host, or they're supposed to have some guests, and of course Gritty will be around there as well. So to kind of maybe have that going on my laptop while I'm watching the game, I think will make it a lot more fun.
Yeah, I definitely agree. I'm excited to see what they get into. There, I'm telling you, there's team that's coming up with all this, like, hats off to them, because they really are, like, it's a tough situation they're put in, and they're really coming up with some really unique and fun stuff for the fans.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, while, you know, we talked a lot, obviously, over the course of the downtime about, you know, stuff like the quarter hour of power and all of that they did, I feel like they did a really good job with all that, but didn't let anything get too stale before Yes. they moved on to the next Yeah. thing. And so I really trust them to make that experience, you know, that they're talking about here pretty similar to that. And that, you know, they'll try some bits out, they'll see what works, what doesn't work, but it will continuously change and continuously be interesting. Because like you said, that team has just been so creative and coming up with fun stuff over the course of the break, and that they know how to run a quality in-game experience in the arena, and they should be able to make this adjustment to a live stream just as well.
Yeah, I completely agree. And I wanted to bring up, this is something that we haven't talked about yet, which is surprising, but I know we'll get into the billboard later. But the Flyers are also, I wouldn't say, like, you know, like some teams are trying to make the bubble a home away from home for the players. Well, the Flyers, they put like I want to say it's like a collage wall of like all the players and their loved ones that they're obviously unable to see right now. And it's so cute. Like, I don't know if the players brought in the pictures or their family sent in pictures that they wanted. But there's so many cool pictures of, like, obviously, like, Claude and Gavin and, like, you know, JVR with his parents and Sean with his wife.
Their dogs, yes, and stuff.
Everyone's at, like, everyone who means something to the players is on that board that players just walk by. So many pictures of Oscar. Like, it's just so, everyone was represented. It was so sweet. And honestly, I thought it was more creative than, like, some other teams who, like, put pictures of the players, like, wives and families and stuff on their, like, bedside table. So I was like, this is something that, like, all the Flyers can see. And it's, like, it'll give the guys something to laugh at, because there's some, like, baby pictures in there, and they're hilarious. Adorable, mm-hmm. but hilarious.
Yeah, I think, you know, they're doing a really good job with, you know, making the fans feel part of the experience, but also making it feel like a Flyers experience with what the players are doing. And it's hard because there's a limited access there. You know, we've talked about that, but they are doing a real solid job. And so I'm excited to see what's to come, both on the ice and off. Speaking of on the ice, we have a round robin game on Sunday, Flyers versus Bruins at 3 p.m. on Sunday on the NBC mothership. So that's pretty cool way to kick it off.
Yes. What's your opinion on the 3 p.m. game?
Well, you know, the Flyers aren't generally good at afternoon games, but I feel like this particular Flyers team is bucking all of those trends of, like, what Flyers are particularly known for. So, you know, let's break that afternoon game curse and win this one. I think it would be a good way for them to get started, especially because the last time the Flyers and Bruins met, it was the game that broke the Flyers' winning streak. It ended the regular season before all of this mess started. You know, maybe we can have some fun like that Brad Marchand biff in the shootout. I hope it doesn't come to a shootout, but, you know, nonetheless, there's something there. And then, you know, it'll be interesting to see what the Bruins lineup looks like. I know Pasternak hadn't been practicing with the team for a while, but he's back and is playing in their exhibition game versus Columbus, which is Thursday evening. So, you know, I think it's another tune-up game for both teams, but I also think that because of how this season has gone between the two teams, that there certainly will be some bragging rights.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, I am definitely looking forward to seeing how this matchup goes, because it will, I think, give us a signal as to what kind of strategy AV is looking to put forth when the actual playoffs start, when you're up against a tough opponent. And I think this whole round robin will help us learn what's the plan is, you know? And now, as we talked about in the intro, here's a little bit of bonus content from the round robin roundtable, asking the host from the other Locked On round robin team podcast what they thought about the Flyers.
I think, I think I've said it many times on my show, I think the clock's ticking for this Lightning team. I think Stamkos maybe has a few more years before he kind of just calls it quits, you know, because how many times you had to get injured before you just realize maybe it's time to pack it in. The Lightning are going to have to make some tough decisions in this offseason with the flat cap. So they're not going to be able to re-sign everybody in terms of the UFAs. And they don't exactly have a stacked system in the AHL and the ECHL. So that's another thing so I feel like, especially now, is the time to strike, especially because you have a team like the Flyers who, in my opinion, I think next to the Rangers are one of the most dangerous teams in the Eastern Conference, just because of how talented they are, as well as how young they are. I can't really speak for the Bruins and the Caps. I mean, Amy said earlier how, you know, the Caps are kind of already an old man team. But yeah, the Lightning, I think the clock's ticking, and they could very well lose their coach either at the end of this playoffs if, you know, they're not successful in going far, or possibly lose Coop maybe early in the season next year if they get off to a slow start. So, to answer your question, I mean, I think that the pressure is definitely on the Lightning and the Bruins. I can't speak for the Caps. I mean, the Bruins made it to the finals last year, so, but the Lightning especially, just because, you know, we could only have this core for so long, and we're not going to be able to have enough money to be flexible to sign quality players that are really going to make a big difference like we've had in years past.
I think this Caps team is the closest to the cup winning team they're ever going to be again. So they're going to give it one last run, especially because Braden Holtby's contract is up at the end of this season. So who knows where he's headed, especially, like you said, Adam, with the flat cap. I'm kind of hoping he signs a one-year extension and then we send him to Seattle, because then I can buy a Holtby Kraken jersey. But I mean, we are the oldest team in the NHL. I said it before. So is our window closing? Experts, and I'm using my finger quotes here, experts have said that our window has been closing for years, including the year that we won the cup. So we'll see.
Ian, what do you think?
Yeah, I think, at the beginning of the season, I wouldn't have picked the Flyers to be in the top four in the Eastern Conference at the point of the season that they were at. And they, I think, along with the Rangers, the Hurricanes, are really representative of the next wave of kind of Eastern Conference, I don't know, powerhouse is the right word, but kind of those Eastern Conference contenders. The Bruins have most of their core wrapped up through next season. So I've already mentioned that this might be their last kick at it with Torrey Krug in the mix. And then after next year, you know, Tuukka Rask, David Krejci are up. So I think, you know, I don't know if their window is closing per se, but Patrice Bergeron just turned 35, and Zdeno Chara can't play forever. So I think they probably have a few years left, but this team, I think, is maybe a little bit better than the one that went to the finals last year. And it would be disappointing if they weren't able to finish the job. It would be, I don't know. It's just really weird because the circumstances, and everybody's kind of been allowed to catch up, get healthy, and everybody will be entering this thing, you know, in two different cities and on a really level playing field. So I think more than any year, anything really can happen and probably will happen. So I'd be disappointed if the Bruins don't win in one sense, but also not surprised if, you know, it's a really, you know, if the Flyers do win it all, or if a team like the Rangers is able to go on this big run, or even the Hurricanes who went to the conference finals last year. So, yeah, all that to say, it's a real crapshoot, and nothing really will surprise me other than maybe the fact that the NHL might be able to pull this off and actually crown a Stanley Cup champion this year.
Yeah, and just to piggyback off that real quick, I wouldn't be shocked if the Flyers do end up making a long cup run. I can't really speak on, you know, I just don't want to see them lift the cup. I wouldn't be surprised if they played in the series, but I wouldn't, you know, it's just, they're a very good team, and I wouldn't be shocked if, whether it's this year or in the next five, that they win a cup or make at least multiple appearances in the finals.
All right, it's Friday, so it's that time again for our gritty thing of the week. Danielle hinted at the first item up for bid earlier in this show, mentioning the absolutely legendary billboard that the Flyers put up in Toronto with Gritty. You know, it's just perfect. With the every shot you take, every save you make, I'll be watching you. Absolutely love it.
Like, I wonder if that's supposed to, like, scare all the other teams or, like, pump up the Flyers. Because it's a little terrifying either way, I think.
I think so, too. Or maybe get some of the people around Toronto on our side.
Yeah, that's very true.
So, yeah. Then, I don't know what exactly was the thought behind this, but we got a little imitation from the brand new Seattle Kraken team. And, you know, the Flyers obviously responded as such, saying imitation is the sincerest form of flattery. But apparently, I don't know if they actually put one up on that billboard or if they just photoshopped a picture of the billboard. That is a little unclear to me, but they kind of changed it to me to be about the Kraken. And kind of implying that they're out scouting all of our players. So, I don't know, Kraken.
See, you know, that's what I'm saying.
Causing trouble. Causing trouble.
No comment on if I like them or not until I see who they take from the Flyers. Because, you know, let's not. The anxiety of that is, like, let's not have to deal with that now.
Next summer, please.
Yes, exactly.
There's too much now. So before all this started, Gritty had a farewell video for the Flyers team, a little bon voyage, and went onto the roof of the Wells Fargo Center with a long-range camera, and so that Gritty could wave at the plane as they took off. I think that was the intent, but it was just a nice little send-off for the team. And then we got the, I think, finale of the training videos that Gritty has been doing. So this one had a montage, I think, of everything done so far. The thing about this particular video is it's a good training montage. I mean, every good movie needs one, and this absolutely delivers. But the thing that got me the most about this particular one, which, you know, I love that billboard. That billboard's great. But this particular training montage video, if you look closely, there's a lot of images of, like, Gritty doing push-ups. And if you'll notice, the googly eyes are only attached at, like, one point. So they kind of fold out, falling down because of gravity, when Gritty is doing push-ups, and it is so creepy. I cannot even.
I was going to say, yeah, that's a little terrifying.
It is very terrifying. Also, bonus content with some Rock'em Sock'em Robots, a little childhood classic toy there. But yeah, those googly eyes, like, folding out was probably the creepiest thing I've ever seen about Gritty.
And honestly, there's a lot of creepy things you can think of about Gritty, but that was that pretty much is the top of the list.
All right. Do you have a winner?
I mean, I would have to say the billboard. Like, that just... I love that. It's so fun and then a little bit petty, and I just love it.
Yeah, you can't really argue with that. I mean, I'm good. I'm still going with my creepy eyeballs, but
that's fair.
It is also a good option. So our last thing of the show, our Flyers fun thing, the Flyers, with very little fanfare, but I think a really great resource, have been putting out on YouTube kind of a season rewind. And so they've been doing these summaries of each month of the season to refresh your memory about how the Flyers got to where they are now. And it's really helpful. Highly recommend watching them if you want to refresh your memory, like I said, about, you know, how the team got to this point and how each month went. So it's a really good series they did.
Definitely. I like watching them, especially the older ones, because you're like, what like, what happened?
That was,
like,
November. You knew, I don't know.
Exactly. Like, you knew it happened, but this year feels like it's a year itself. So
yeah,
we need those little reminders. It was a good playlist.
We do. All right. Well, with that, that's the end of the show. Thanks for listening. We'll be back again, of course, on Monday to recap Sunday's game versus the Bruins. And then, of course, we'll have our nemesis of the week. As a reminder, we want to hear from you. Send us in your feelings about the game on Sunday via Twitter at LockedOnFlyers, or you can email us at LockedOnFlyers@gmail.com.
I'm Danielle, and you can find me on Twitter at Danielle_Nick. That's Danielle_NICC.
And I'm Rachel. I'm on Twitter at rmiriam. That's rmiriam. Now tune in to the most recent episode of Locked On NHL, and have a great weekend.